All right, well, let me jump into today's opening monologue, The Right Side Way. As always, we open with comments and commentary. And I got to tell you, a phrase that I think is very apropos right now is lead, follow, or get out of the way. I mean, you probably heard the phrase before. Depending on whose opinion you value more, the phrase has been attributed over to time to like Thomas Paine, General George Patton, even Lee Iacocca. Whoever it was that said lead, follow, or get out of the way, I would hazard the guess that it came from somebody with a strong personality, a sense of mission, the need to get something very important done. I mean, it sounds a little bit like a rebellion phrase, right? But I would also say that lead, follow, or get out of the way is in fact a leadership phrase. The kind of thing that gets said by the person who is not only has a strong personality, but the confidence to actually put their actual intent into action. Someone who sees a situation that needs immediate action, lead, follow, or get out of the way, is the kind of phrase that's said by someone who knows that action must be taken quickly, with a sense of organized and yet reckless abandon. Somebody who knows that the consequences of doing nothing could be far worse. So yeah, lead, follow, or get out of the way. It's a demand phrase. It's a logjam breaking phrase. It's a call to action. It's also not always popular because it tells other people at a peer level, even those of a superior rank, that they are the problem. You don't tell subordinates to lead, follow, or get out of the way. That's a phrase that one general tells to other generals, or that a business leader tells to his board of directors, or that a president tells to Congress. It's not only a statement of intent, it's an actual rebuke to those who had the opportunity to fix something, but for some reason they've chosen not to. And the person who says it, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Sometimes it just takes one person to launch the change with the attitude, with the authority, and with the wherewithal to not only say to others that they should lead, follow, or just get out of the way, but that the person who's saying it can actually act on it. Look, in my opinion, America is right now at an inflection point. In every way imaginable, we are at a point where a turning is needed, fiscally, militarily, politically, socially, culturally, spiritually. We've been ravaged in the past 4 years from the pandemic and its big government policies that resulted. Social upheaval with riots and immorality, political polarization, open borders creating chaos in our streets, massive government spending and economic stagnation coupled with inflation. And this election, y'all, is about whether we will turn back from the cliff or just take the plunge off into the abyss. And I'm not trying to be dramatic or just launch into some hyperbole. I want our country back. I want the U.S. to be the shining city on a hill, to promote peace through strength, to have a vibrant economy that leads the world in productivity. This election is about all of that, which means that this election is about leadership. It's not just an election of a personality, but an election of leadership. What we need right now is someone who has the ability to come in and with conservative principles in place, tell the rest of the folks to lead, follow, or get out of the way. Now, Victor Davis Hanson is an American scholar. I know some of you all have heard of him. He's a historian. He's an author. He's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute. And I've said before that every time I listen to him speak, I feel like I gain points on my IQ. I mean, the guy is just brilliant. Hanson wrote a book that I really like. It's called The Savior Generals. It's a study of five historic generals that Hanson believes stepped into a losing military campaign, and by the sheer force of their will, by their individual ability to plan and strategize and cajole and convince and execute, that those single generals in and of themselves turned the tide. That these particular generals, they were the sole catalyst for snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, but they were also not very popular for having done so. Hanson said the book was designed to show how, he said, his quote, contrarian and unpopular generals have often saved the day defying the odds to win a campaign, sometimes an entire war. I saw a review of his book, and it talked about the fact that his look back over 2,600 years, which detailed, by the way, the events of Themistocles, Belisarius, Sherman, Ridgway, Petraeus, that Hanson said those five generals in his book, they all had common traits. His quote, they all enjoyed their reputations for bucking conventional wisdom. They were all highly literate, well-spoken, and they all led by example. Each one of those so-called savior generals that Hanson wrote about, they were men who forged their own path and who knew that without victory, there was going to be no chance of survival. One book review that I read about Hansen's book pointed out that despite each one of those men being the right man for the right time, that they were also not very popular. It is said that Themistocles was subjected to trumped-up charges of corruption. Belisarius, he lost his marriage and fell out of favor with the emperor. Sherman, well, you know about Sherman, he was branded by many as a terrorist because he burned his way to the sea. He had trouble getting along with people. Ridgway was forced to resign as the chief of staff from President Eisenhower. And then Petraeus, well, he resigned as director of the CIA because of an extramarital affair. So yeah, they were all flawed men, but yet they were great leaders. They were leaders who were needed for their time. So what does it take to be that person? I mean, who else has actually stood up and done what needed to be done at just the right time for just the right reasons with just the right plan, who actually had the moxie to tell those around him to lead, follow, or get out of the way? Oh, there have been others. I remember back a few years ago reading a great book, 1776, I hope some of y'all read it, by David McCullough. 1776 is an awesome read. I mean, if you love U.S. history, that book, 1776, it'll give you so much insight into the depth and the breadth of what actually had to happen for the original 13 colonies to become the future United States of America. But one thing that struck me more than anything when I read the book, I had never realized until I read it, was that General George Washington actually had to beg the Continental Congress to stay the course. Can you imagine? I mean, to be sure, there were other patriots, there were other heroes of the Revolution. But I had always envisioned the entire Continental Congress, those great men who signed the Declaration of Independence, as all being unwavering and steady and without any doubts. But no, they apparently had some stalwarts in the bunch, but they, as a group, struggled and debated, and some of them even wavered. But Washington saw a way forward. He wrote to the Congress urging them to stay in the fight. I got to thinking about it. What if it had been another man in charge of the Continental Army? Is it possible that Washington's influence actually made that much of a difference? I think history would say that if you study it, yeah, it did. So like I said before, I believe the United States, this country that we all love, is at a crucial point in history. We're now in the place where we have to ask the question, what kind of nation do we want to be? Should the average person in America believe the government is there for them? Or will we be a nation in which the government presses down its influence against anybody who dares to question it? Are we a nation who values the sanctity of life? Are we a nation who appreciates the simple fact that a man is a man and a woman is a woman? Are we a nation that stands for freedom and liberty and one that our allies know will have their back? Are we a nation that understands the value of our dollar and that fiscal responsibility and big spending don't always mean the same thing? The only way that I believe that we're going to win this fight as conservatives is if we stay the course. And if we elect the kind of people to represent us who will say to those around them, they can lead, follow, or get out of the way, but we're going to fix America. Looking back at Hansen's book again, I'll just wrap up with this. One of those men who was featured in Hansen's book was General Ridgway. Over time, history began to take a little more note about his efforts and successes in World War II, and despite the fact that he fell out with Eisenhower after the war, many years later, President Ronald Reagan actually awarded General Ridgway the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And on May 12th of 1986, while speaking at the presentation ceremony, Reagan said, "Heroes come when they're needed, and great men step forward when courage seems to be short in supply." I'd say that we're in that time. I'd say that we need great men to step forward, because right now, it seems like courage is too often in short supply. We need some brassy leadership to say to those who are flagging and flailing and ducking for cover, they need to lead, follow, or get out of the way. Because it's about our country. It's about leadership. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, there you have it. Great book, by the way, Save Your Generals. If you haven't read it, I encourage you highly to read it. And then 1776, whew, what a great book that is. Listen, I really do believe this is a time, a turning time, a time when we have to elect leadership that is willing to break things in order to fix things, if you know what I mean. It's time to say lead, follow, or get out of the way. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.